He drew his cloak more closely round him. He shivered as the night wind picked up snow and grazed his face with it. He felt the cold working its way into his body and into his blood. Loki remembered Sif, her locked bedchamber, her shorn, shining hair, his own lips pierced with an awl. He scowled and inspected the door again. The shape-changer shook his head. He muttered the words and turned himself into a fly. Sesrumna was so well built that he was still unable to find a way into the hall. A chink between wood and plaster, or plaster and turf. He buzzed around the keyhole, but that was no good. He examined the top and the bottom of the door, and they were no good. He flew up to the eaves, and they were no good. Then he flitted to one gable end, and there at the top, right under the roof, he found an opening, little larger than a needle's eye. Loki, the shape-changer, squirmed and wriggled his way through. He was at large and inside Sesrumna. After making sure that Freya's daughters and serving maids were asleep, he flew to Freya's bedside. But the sleeping goddess was wearing the necklace, and its clasp lay under her neck. It was out of sight and out of reach. So Loki changed shape again, this time becoming a flea. Then he amused himself crawling over Freya's breast across the necklace and up onto her cheek. There he sat down. He gathered his strength and stung her pale skin. Freya started. She moaned and turned onto her side and settled again. But now the clasp of the necklace was exposed, just as the shape-changer had intended. As soon as he was certain that Freya was sleeping soundly once more, Loki resumed his own form. He looked swiftly around and then with light fingers released the clasp and gently drew the necklace from Freya's throat. No thief in the nine worlds was as nimble and skillful as he. With no movement that was not necessary, and without making a sound, he stole to the hall doors, slid back the bolts, turned the lock, and disappeared into the night.